JSE-listed insurer Liberty released their half-year results today. For the 6 months ended June 2020, the group reported a normalised headline loss of 2 billion rand, 173 million rand, compared to normalised headline earnings of just above 2 billion rand in the same period of last year. Normalised annual return on equity was minus 19.7% compared to a positive of 17.7% in the 6 months ended June 2019. On this occasion, the company has decided not to give shareholders an interim dividend. The company knows that it's been a tough period with the effects and impacts of COVID-19. Well, to tell us more, I'm joined on the line by David Munro. He's the CEO of the Liberty Group. Thanks very much, David, for joining us. So you indicate that your normalised headline loss of just under 2.2 billion rand reflects the group's decision to make a provision for possible COVID-19 claims. Can you just elaborate on that for us?
Yeah, absolutely, Nomtu, and thank you for having me on the show.
Sure.
When a life insurance company like ours faces a pandemic such as we face in South Africa at this point in time, we have to make a best estimate of what we think the impact of this pandemic will be for our business. And we see that mostly through the lens of what we call elevated mortality or higher death claims as a result of people tragically passing away as a result of the virus, or retrenchment claims as a result of people losing their jobs in this terribly difficult economic time.
Mm.
We have to build a model around that and then quantify what we think the financial impact would be. And we've set aside this 3 billion rand. It, of course, is an accounting charge, but to us it also represents the set aside of financial resources to give our customers and advisors peace of mind that we really are financially strong. Having set aside that money, we still have a very strong capital ratio at 1.83 times, and that we are ready to honor the claims that are going to come our way as we fulfill our purpose indeed during this time.
Hmm. David, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but I see that your new business volumes declined. To me, it looks like it's 24% relative to last year, but you'll correct me. What do you see as the assortment of factors that led to the decline in new business?
Yeah, new business in an insurance company like ours is a critical measure, and it's sort of closer to 10%, but there are different measures. So we can just capture it that our volumes of new business are much lower in the first half of this year compared to the first half of last year. That's the really sort of big headline. It's not a surprise. So much of our business is done through face-to-face consulting and advice given by trained brokers and advisors. And during lockdown, they simply could not get out there and do their work. We've rearmed the advisory teams with digital engagement tools and platforms, and they're starting to work now through remote engagement. This is a fundamental transformation that everyone's going through.
Mm.
But during this period in March and April, we saw a very significant drop off in new business. And so we lost a couple of months in the first half of this year.
Yeah. What about your asset manager arm, Stanlib? How did they do in the period, and were they able to offset the insurance arm's performance this time round?
Look, you know, Stanlib had a fantastic first half in the context of such volatile and difficult market conditions. Their core retail funds ended up in the first and second quartile of performance, which is a great measure of the investment performance and delivery to clients. And we also saw strong net customer cash inflows for the business over the half year, showing that the customer franchise is strong and people trust Stanlib as an asset manager. Mm. It's not big enough to offset the impact on the insurance operations. So Stanlib is relatively small compared to the size of our insurance operations. And so even though they grew earnings, it wasn't big enough to offset the impact in insurance.
Hmm. Of course, COVID-19 is the dominating factor. Your results cover the beginning of the COVID-19 experience in South Africa. What's your experience been like in terms of claims related to COVID-19 from March to date?
Yeah, you know, that's such a fascinating question. And it's really tough to explain this because it goes to the heartbreaking experience that so many of our people in our country are going through, losing loved ones, losing friends, losing colleagues. But what you can see transpire in our modeling of this virus is as follows. We've seen this very significant escalation in the last 6 weeks or so of infections. Infections will translate into an elevated rate of death from this virus on a sort of 3 to 4 week lag basis. And then we then need to wait for our customers' families to come to us with the claims, and that generally takes between 7 days and 3 weeks, depending on the size of the claim, the complexity, the difficulties that the family is facing.
Mm.
So we're about 7 to 10 weeks behind the real infection rate. And so we actually, in the first half, haven't really seen any COVID-related claims. In the last few weeks, we've seen our funeral claims really start to elevate, and that's the first, call it, canary in the mine for us, in the sense that we're seeing almost a doubling of funeral claims coming through, And we expect this to start to now flow through in the next, probably 6 to 9 weeks is going to be very tough for everyone as this pandemic plays its way through our country.
Yeah. Look, it took some time before we started to begin to experience deaths in South Africa. And during the initial lockdown, I'm wondering to what extent insurance companies saw a decline in insurance claims altogether because people were sitting at home. Of course, we can have accidents at home. But what's your reading of the amount of claims that you were getting in that in those first 3 weeks, say?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And we, you know, we should acknowledge that every single claim represents the passing of a loved one, a friend, a colleague, somebody that had a lot, you know, a life that was valued by their community. So we don't look at these as policies. We look at these as people's stories, and it's really tough. But you are right. In the first few weeks of the lockdown, accidental death declined dramatically. The level of mortality that was, arose as a result of natural causes also came down slightly. And that was because of an election. That was because of reduced elective surgery and various other reduced general health care activities that, ironically, of course, are vital to long-term health. But because there was, you know, no short-term activity in that space, actually saw natural death rates come down slightly. But that's all returned to normal as the lockdown measures have basically proceeded.
So the second quarter period and onwards has been really hard going for the economy and particularly jobs. Have you seen this translated into higher insurance premium payment lapses?
You know, lapses and what we call persistency is the direct consequence of people not having sufficient financial resources to meet their obligations. And that is, you know, really sad as a result of people losing their jobs, businesses closing, their businesses that they run not working. And so, yes, we actually haven't yet seen significant lapses, actually. The reason for that is that we've put in place significant measures to give our clients relief.
Right.
So they can come to us and say, we can't make this installment, we can't make this premium. Can we reduce our cover? Can we reduce our premium? So we've worked with our clients. We've had 100,000 of our clients actually come and utilize that relief facility. That has actually protected us from lapses in the first 3 months of this this crisis. Where we have seen a challenge is where employers for whom we administer pension funds are really struggling or have had to close their businesses already. And there you see an immediate consequence because they can no longer pay their monthly pension and need to start activating the sort of pension fund termination processes, which is really tragic to see.
So while you say that the group's capital position remains strong, you have decided on this occasion not to give shareholders an interim dividend. Just give us your rationale on that.
Yeah, I think it's you know, very natural that in a period of such extreme stress and high levels of uncertainty, one needs to protect as a financial institution, you need to firstly protect your liquidity, which means that you can meet your financial obligations as they fall due, and we've done that through this crisis. But equally importantly, one needs to protect the capitalization of the organization. We're running at a 1.83 times capital, which is a complicated insurance company measure, but that's strong. Our ratio, our target range is 1.5 to 2 times. So notwithstanding that high level of capitalization or capital strength, we've made a significant loss in the first half of over 2 billion rand. That is a result of the pandemic reserve. And so we decided as a board and felt that it's not the right time to pay a dividend now. And it's therefore, you know, we're going to have to see how this unfolds in the second half and we'll evaluate the situation at the end of the year.
Yeah. And then if you've overestimated that 3 billion rand reserve, then presumably shareholders can rub their hands in anticipation at the end of the year.
Well, you know, I mean, that would just be an outcome, you know, that would mean that less people are directly affected through elevated mortality and job losses. I was celebrated for that long before I felt, you know, that the release for the company in terms of profitability would be a good thing. This is about human lives in the first instance and our purpose. So, yes, that would, you know, ultimately result in a revision or a return of that reserve to profitability. But I think the bigger story there would be that we overestimated the impact on people's lives. And, you know, I'd be, you know, personally very happy about that.
No, I hear you. So with everything that's happened, has this accelerated your digital offering so that you're able to pick up on new business, you know, on your new business metric, which didn't do so well before? And what's the outlook generally for the rest of the year?
Yeah, that's very interesting. I mean, it absolutely has accelerated our the digital plan that we have for our business. We laid out a set of plans back in early 2017, or late 2017, I beg your pardon, for the refresh of the strategy of Liberty. And that involved trying to turn Liberty into a modern digital organization. This pandemic has transformed people's behavior, where you've previously faced the barriers of behavior around digital adoption. Now it's ubiquitous. Everyone has to do it. So actually, that's really accelerated us, both in terms of staff and advisors and indeed clients. So that's helped. Where we have seen really in a powerful positive image of the consequence is in our relationship with Standard Bank. We facilitate Standard Bank's direct life insurance business. Mm-hmm. It's written on our licenses, and we actually do the full fulfillment of that. And that business has actually shown very strong growth during this time, which really shows that clients are interested and capable of executing a life insurance policy online digitally with this complete straight-through process, which is really powerful. And that's, in many respects, where we're aiming for on some parts of our business. Other parts always have to be advised. Complex life insurance policy isn't something that you can buy off the shelf, nor is a long-term investment. You have to be advised on these things, the critical role therefore played by advisors in our community.
Yes. And just in terms of the outlook, David, we know that the economy is not likely to do that well this year. There is going to be a massive contraction, and government's finances are not in good shape. So how does that then translate to you? What's the outlook?
Yeah, look, we're so indexed to the local economy in the sense that disposable income and discretionary spend amongst the consumer in South Africa is vital for us, particularly in the retail affluent segment. So this is going to be hard times. Actually, we all know that we were in hard times before COVID hit, and so this is harder times in many respects. But we're resilient. We're financially strong. We are determined. We're confident. And we are in the process of investing in our business to transform it. And I think we will not let this crisis dent our ambitions and our hopes and dreams for this business.
That was David Munro. He's the CEO of the Liberty Group.